The combine is over and the 2025 NFL draft is almost upon us.
With the first pick in the 2024 NFL draft, the Chicago Bears select Caleb Williams. The Carolina Panthers select Bryce Young. The Jacksonville Jaguars select Trevor Lawrence.
The Cincinnati Bengals select Joe Burrow.
Let's find out whose stock is falling and whose stock is rising.
Jackpot, baby!
And now it's time for the Zach Gelb Show to give you an inside look at some of the biggest draft prospects in this edition of Prospect Profile.
Alrighty, Prospect Profile time on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. And we're going to start with the guy that's expected to go number one in the NFL draft. And that's the former Miami quarterback in Cam Ward, projected to get selected by the Tennessee Titans. So let's go out to the guest line right now. Welcome in the 1992 Heisman Trophy winner from Miami. And that, of course, is Gino Toretta here with us on the Zach Gelb Show. Gino, appreciate the time. How you been?
I'm doing great, Zach. How are you?
Well, I'm fantastic. So we know what Cam did last year at Miami, the 44 total touchdowns, finished fourth in the Heisman, and threw for over 4,300 yards. But you being a legendary Miami quarterback, how do you look back at the year that Cam had for your school?
Well, I think he had the best single season of any of us in the history of the school. I mean, yardage-wise, touchdowns, it was just spectacular. You know, I go back to I think the first time I saw him when, you know, he decided to come to Miami in January or February before the draft. And when I watched him throw, and I was just thinking to myself, I'm like, what were the NFL scouts thinking? Because the first thing I saw was elite arm velocity, tight spirals, elite arm placement-wise, accuracy. And I just kind of shook my head. I'm like, okay, their mistake is our gain. And, you know, I think, Zach, it was probably one of those situations where he put up great stats at Washington State. He's really put up great stats wherever he's been. I don't think enough people saw him actually throw the ball in person. And, you know, it just kind of the NFL scouting process, it is what it is. But their loss for a season was our gain. And I think that he just continued to get better. He operated in Miami's offense was outstanding. We ran, you know, a similar system than he had run at Washington State. So, yeah, just a little disappointing end that the team couldn't get in the playoff. But, yeah, Cam had a great season.
You know, it's fascinating the way that you talk about his NFL projection, because I'm a believer in Cam Ward. But a lot of people are knocking down this quarterback draft class and even saying if he was in it last year, he probably would have been maybe the fourth or fifth best quarterback in the draft class. What do you think Cam Ward could be in the NFL as a pro quarterback?
Well, I think he has all the physical skills. I think that, you know, the guys that become elite in the NFL also have 10 other darn good football players around them. They have a, you know, good line, some, you know, weapons on the outside. I think his mental processing is high. So I think the sky's the limit for him. I just think that, listen, the team that has the first pick has the first pick for a reason. It usually isn't for positive ones based on success rate. So I think Tennessee's got a lot of holes, but Cam will be one where, you know, they'll fill that hole rather quickly. I just hope, you know, for his sake and for all the quarterbacks, it's, you know, you want him to have talent around him to be able to show off those skills.
And you look last year at the first three quarterbacks that did go. Caleb Williams walked into a lot of talent but poor coaching and didn't have a good year. Jaden Daniels carried the Commanders. And then Drake May did more with really less around him. So Cam Ward walking into a locker room right away with his leadership skills and what we saw when he did in multiple stops in college, what's the immediate impact that he could do maybe on a day one or in his first season?
Well, I think that was one thing, you know, Mario Cristobal always talked about. He's alpha, you know, when he came in and obviously tried to, you know, become the leader of the teams, took his, you know, linemen out to dinners and things like that. So I think he's already done that. He's already had to do it. I mean, the kids are having to do it in free agency and college football, you know, a lot earlier than we used to when that didn't happen once you were in the pros. So I think that he's been on a few different squads. he's obviously led different people, and he's become, you know, the leader when he was there. And I really think that he's pretty quiet on the field. He's quiet, you know, not a yeller, but I know he talks because I, you know, I'm close enough to where, you know, I watch him practice and I'm like, you know, he's talking smack to the defensive guys and that. And I think that he's always challenging his teammates to be the best they can. And I think that, you know, when you get to the National Football League, I think that's what you want. You want a guy that's always going to challenge anybody around him to get better. And, you know, I think there's no question he has all the ability. But like I said, quarterback position is, you know, you need 10 other guys doing their job, so you can do your job good.
Gino Toretta here with us, the 1992 Heisman Trophy winner from the U. I also love his story. I know we touched on it a little bit, but I got a chance to talk to him when he was at Washington State. You know, he's a zero-star recruit, incarnate word. Then we saw what he did at Washington State, and then this year really got the national buzz. But he's always had the confidence in himself. I remember talking to him when he was out on the West Coast, and he said he believes he could be a Heisman Trophy winner, and he believes he could be one of the best players in college football.
Well, I don't think there's any question. I think that when you run a offense in high school that, I don't know, maybe antiquated. I'm not sure how you run a wing tee because I've never had to run a wing tee. But I know that generally is more in the lines of Johnny Lattner or Notre Dame in the 50s and things like that. And, you know, he was confident then. And I would say this, after watching him throw literally the first time, you know, somebody's wrong, and they've been wrong about this kid for 5 years. And that's where I just, you know, if you see somebody throw, like, don't let your, you know, your eyes don't deceive you when you see somebody has elite arm strength. And I think that, you know, for whatever reason, you know, he's been made to prove it, and he's had no problem going out there and proving it. I mean, his mom was his basketball coach growing up. You know what I mean? Is all of those stories that we hear about guys in the past, oh, his dad has coached him through the course of his career. His mom's coached him, is just on the basketball court. And I think that, you know, he has developed and he's gotten better. And it seems like, you know, at least when he's even working out with Shadur and those guys in their preseason and the last offseason, man, he is not slacking at all. I mean, he's always challenging the guys with him, like, you know, why are we taking a water break here? This is ridiculous. Let's go. Let's keep working harder. And I think that'll serve him well as he gets to the NFL.
And when I got a chance to be around him when he was a Heisman Trophy finalist here in the city, he's a lot bigger, I think, in person than what they have him listed. I know he's not as big as Ben Roethlisberger, but I kind of see a little Big Ben in the game of Cam Ward. How about yourself? Is there a pro quarterback that you've seen before that kind of reminds you of Cam Ward?
Well, he's definitely thick. I would say this, that, you know, the ball coming off reminds me a lot of Michael Vick. You know what I mean? I think that when you watch Vic throw, it was like, wow, this ball is coming out, and it's coming out tight spiral and exactly where he wanted to. Maybe when I played, I had a chance to play with Warren Moon, where that dude never threw a bad ball. There wasn't, I mean, if that ball didn't perfectly spiral when Warren threw it, he would ask the equipment guy to see it and guarantee the laces were bad or something was bad with that ball, because he never threw a bad ball. And I would say that, you know, those are some pretty good comparisons for Cam, because his ball comes out like those guys. It's just tight. It's got a ton of revolutions on it, which it'll get through the wind, you know, when you get in those tough weather conditions in the NFL, and it has the velocity.
Gino Toretta here with us. I want to get your thoughts on Shador Sanders, because a month ago or even a week ago, I thought he was going to go 2 or 3. Now you have Adam Schefter saying he could go at 9, maybe even as far as 21 to the Pittsburgh Steelers. When you see Shador, how do you think his game projects to the next level?
Well, I think, again, he's very talented. Sky's the limit. Probably more of, you know, pocket passer, but he didn't have the skill around him that let's say Cam did, you know, last season. I broadcasted his Nebraska game where I don't know how many times he got hit, 25 times. He probably got sacked 10, and it was all he could do to stay upright and get rid of the ball. So I think he's got the size. He's got the toughness. You know, I mean, I hear a lot of smoke. You know, listen, this is the time of smoke. There's teams that like Shador. There's no question. You know that And I know that. And I think it's just a matter of, can they throw out enough smoke to basically get him maybe a little bit on sale to wherever they want to pick or wherever they move up to. But physically, he's got the ability. You know, when people say confidence, oh, he's too confident. Listen, I've never met a quarterback that's never been too confident. I mean, you have to be confident, and I think that he has that. He's had the spotlight on him, you know, God, since he was a kid, probably in high school, being Deion's kid and the quarterback. So I would say that I think he'll do well. Again, it sometimes is better not to get picked one because the teams that go down are better. There's less holes that those teams have to fill, and maybe you come into the right situation. And you become a starter, and you become a team where you're the missing piece to take them over the top. So it's not all bad. Maybe in the first paycheck, but you hit free agency, and I think they can more than make up for it by then.
And let me be clear too. I think the two best players in this draft are Abdul Carter and Travis Hunter. But you know, you either have a quarterback or you don't in the NFL, and sometimes you may not be the best player in the draft, but you need a quarterback, so you take one. I just don't understand if I was a Browns fan or a Giant fan, and let's say Cam Ward does go one, how you pass on Shedeur Sanders and then justify that when you need a quarterback.
Well, I would agree. You know, listen, I take Travis. I mean, I take Cam because, like you said, the quarterback position is more impactful on a team, and Tennessee needs a quarterback. To me, I'd take Travis Hunter. I don't care who's picking number two. I don't even know who's picking number two, but I would take Travis Hunter. I mean,
Cleveland, yeah.
the kid is, he is just a dog. I mean, he's tall, he's skinny, but man, he has no problem, never shies away contact. And you know, and like I said, I broadcast that Nebraska game, and we met him at the Heisman this year. And I just said something. I go, Travis, man, you don't back down from contact. And he's got a slight frame. He's like, bro, that's the dog in me. And it is. And like what Warren Sapp, one of my old teammates, said, it was just a privilege to watch him practice every day. He is a physical corner. He's got the body control, you know, of the best receivers that we've ever seen. The question is going to be, how many plays are they going to let him play in on both sides? Because he can play both sides. It's just how many plays is wherever he goes, you know, let him play. So I'd pick Travis number two just because of all of that, and he's a hell of a kid.
Would you pick him one over Cam if you were Tennessee?
Not if I needed a quarterback.
Okay.
And based on Tennessee's probably history, I think they must feel that Levis isn't the answer. I think he was only picked a couple of years ago. So I need QB. I'm taking Cam Ward, and from what I hear, everybody in Tennessee is basically kind of settled on that, and I'm sure they're working with Cam's agent to probably negotiate the contract right now before the pick's even made, so there's no holdout days.
Gino Toretta here with us, the 1992 Heisman Trophy winner. I want to get your thoughts on a few other Miami players. I was a big fan of Ladd McConkey out of Georgia, and he fell to the second round. Xavier Restrepo, we haven't really heard a lot about him in this draft process, but what a career, obviously a record-breaking career he had at your school.
Yeah, an absolute stud. Listen, he's been doing it since Pop Warner down here. You just can't get him to the ground. Go ask Cam. He always found the open slot. He would always, you know, find that open area. I can't remember the guy's name that the Dolphins cut, went up to the Jets, and they called him 7-11 Hovind.
Oh, Chris Hogan.
Chris
Yeah.
Hogan. I mean, basically, that's the way I look at Restrepo. And I guess he was tight, ran a bad 40 during pro day, you know, so I'm sure they'll knock him there. But there's no question, the kid, he is just tough. He's one of the hardest working players, if not the hardest working guy out there. Every time I would go out and watch practice, he was the guy running extra routes. It wasn't the young freshman. He was the one doing all the extra work when he probably didn't need to. But he puts in the work. He's hungry, and he needs to get that opportunity because I know this. He's the guy that he'll know the offense that he's in. He'll find the lanes. He'll be the quarterback's best friend. And he makes all the grabs in tough situations right before contact. So yeah, big fan of Xavier.
You know, it's kind of funny when you parachute into the Miami program all year. What we heard was Cam Ward, Xavier Restrepo, and then we also heard just about obviously how bad the defense was. Elijah Arroyo, though, the tight end, is making some noise here leading up to this draft. What can you tell people about him that maybe aren't familiar with him?
Absolute stud. I would say, if I recall correctly, it was the Virginia Tech game, which they ended up winning on a missed field or a missed Hail Mary by Virginia Tech. But really, what saved the game, and I'm sure it's on YouTube, Cam threw a pick going into the end zone, and Arroyo ran, I think, 91 yards from the left side of the field to the opposite end of the field and tackled the interceptor of the ball inside the 10, and our actually defense stopped Virginia Tech from scoring a touchdown. And it just the hunger, the speed, he seems to have gotten better and better at the entire season. But I agree, he's one of those guys where it's like, oh, that guy plays in Miami. Yeah, that guy's pretty good. And then it's like you watch him, you're like, wow, I'm only watching that guy. He's damn good. And I would agree. I think he's going to be a guy that's he'll have a lot of success. I think a little bit faster than Brevin Jordan, one of our tight ends a couple years ago that's in Houston, maybe even a little bit taller. Yeah, a stud football player.
How about your thoughts on Carson Beck? This time last year, many were projecting him to be the number one overall pick in this draft. Did not go well for him at Georgia, now transferring over to team up with Mario Cristobal. What are your expectations for Carson?
Well, expectations. I don't know what the expectations are. I hope he gets healthy. I mean, to come off elbow surgery and that, he hasn't thrown since what was it, the Sugar Bowl, where he got hurt last year. If he can get, he has all the physical ability in the world. He's 6'4". He's big, tall, tremendous velocity on the ball. It's just a matter of how he's going to do after that injury. Because if he gets back healthy, they've got a lot of young, talented receivers that are there that Cam probably helped develop last year. They get many catches during the season from Restrepo, but no, he'll have a lot of talent around him to be successful.
Last thing I'll ask you, just in the current landscape of college football, there was a story out today from the Tennessee program with Nico Iamaliava, right? The transfer portal window for the spring is opening back up in a few days, and I guess they're going through current NIL negotiations where I don't know what numbers are true. I guess he was getting $2.5 million. He wants four. He's not showing up to the spring practice that was today. I'm in favor of NIL and the transfer portal, to be clear, but man, it really is the wild, wild west, where this is clearly no longer an amateur game.
Well, the thing with the how it's constructed now, a player in college is a free agent twice a year. He's a free agent in December when that window opens, and he's a free agent at the end of the year. To me, you got to shut one of those windows down. You can't have transfers in a season when you're starting playoffs. The same way basketball. I mean, basketball. These guys were, what were they, in the Sweet 16?
Yeah,
And
with
there
the
was
portal.
the portal starts opening. So it's absolutely ridiculous. And how it's not shut for sports to where it's not during their season is, I don't know what the NCAA is waiting for. So you just do it at the end of the year. So they should have, if you have a 1 year contract, 2 year contract, whatever that is, you have, a window at the end of second semester. Maybe you don't have a full spring practice. Maybe you have OTAs after, in the summer to kind of reacclimate the new players or transfers in. I would say this, if they're negotiating now, I think that's good because a couple years ago, it seemed like when Miami went to the Final Four, we had eight basketball players going to the portal, not because they didn't like Miami and Coach L. That was their way of getting paid. So if you can renegotiate and that's great. I think that, hopefully he probably sees the check that Miami gave back and is like, hey,
What about me?
yeah, what about me? So, listen, more power to them. It's life-changing money that these kids are getting even in college now.
Gino, always appreciate the time. Thanks so much for doing this.
Anytime, Zach.
All righty, there is Gino Toretta. We'll take a timeout. It is a Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network.